chapter 3, and we're going to read together, beginning with verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3, I read from the English Standard Version. This is the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through your apostles, knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago, and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God, and that by means of these, the heavens and the earth now exist, are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought ye to be in holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. I know that's a lengthy reading, but we're going to be talking about this both this morning and this afternoon. Know this, that as Peter writes this particular letter, he's concerned with Christians, I believe, in the Palestine area, converted Jews, who were being misled by false teachers. And Peter's addressing that. This whole letter really is to talk about the fact that there are those among you, he would tell us in chapter 2 and verse 1, that are trying to mislead you and distort the gospel. And he warns them two times in this letter that they need to be careful. As he stirs them up, he says in chapter 1, you know, to remind them of things that they already knew. You know, preachers preach, Chuck preaches, when I preach, when others preach, most of the time, we're not sharing anything all that new. Solomon, was it said, that nothing is new under the sun. So we're just really teaching you or bringing to your attention things you already know, reminding you of things. I believe Peter knew that these Christians were aware of the gospel, and they knew what was right. But there had become those who had entered into the area who were beginning to mislead them and teach them error. Now, I can't see that screen. My eyes will not let me. So I'm going to turn around and look at this board, so y'all forgive me for that. He says, but false prophets arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and the destruction is not asleep. Peter says in chapter 3 and verse 17, in this text that we just read, you therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand. Now notice this, because it's the key to this, the thoughts that we're going to have today. Tonight we'll talk about the earlier part of chapter 3. We're actually going to talk about the latter part this morning. Peter says, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. There's some controversy over what was going on when Peter wrote this. Most people believe that there was people introducing the concept of the idea of Gnosticism. And this idea asserts a dualistic system, that all nature is divided into the material and the spiritual. The spirit is good, matter is evil. Therefore, Christ, the Son of God, since he is wholly good, could not have been flesh and blood. And apparently that was being taught. Peter calls those who teach such thing as false teachers. He says in our text that they're false words, false teachers, even denying the master who brought them. So those who were Gnostics basically denied that Jesus existed in the flesh. Now, there might be other things. I also think that there were those false teachers that Peter was addressing, because he discusses it in this text, who were confused about the second coming. Perhaps like those in Thessalonica that thought Christ's coming was imminent. Peter had to address that and talk about his coming, the second coming, that is. We'll talk about that some this afternoon. But get the idea here that there were false teachers. There's nothing new about false teachers. Just because somebody carries a Bible doesn't mean he's teaching the truth. Just because you see people step in a pulpit and begin preaching doesn't make them teach the truth. I've seen people like Max Lucado, who I believe, in my own estimation, has done more harm to the Lord's church than any one person I know. He's a false teacher. And I have a problem oftentimes with people who have his books laying all over the living room, because he's doing much harm to the church. He at one time advocated that man could only become a Christian by doing the things that we generally offer an invitation, that he must repent of his sins, he must believe in Jesus Christ, he must confess those sins and be baptized into a watery grave. He no longer believes that, doesn't teach that watery baptism is essential. He now teaches that if you want to be baptized by sprinkling or by pouring, that's fine. It's just that you put yourself in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ with your heart. I've read these things that he's written. He's moved a long way from what I think the principles of the New Testament are. I call that a false teacher. And we need to call it for what it is. And there are so many others that I'm not trying to drag any one person down. I'm simply trying to say that what Peter's going to tell us in this message is that we need to make our election sure, that we need to know when somebody's teaching error. We need to have a clear enough understanding of truth that when we have people like that who are propagating a bunch of nonsense, that we call them on it. Now, we do it in the spirit of meekness, but we do it anyway. And that's what spiritual nobility is all about. Those who are more noble because they search the scriptures daily. Because we make ourselves aware of what the truth is, and when somebody speaks error, we call them on it. And Peter's calling on these Christians to do just that. We'll see that as we continue. Just because somebody carries a Bible doesn't mean he's preaching the truth. I think we'd all do good to remember that. You know, the whole idea of being a false teacher is not new. Jesus brought up that to our attention when he talks about, as we see in Matthew 7, verse 15, that there is going to be those who are like, that are wolves that come to you in sheep clothing, but are false teachers. And we need to see them for what they are. You know, in 2 Peter here, Peter himself makes reference, look at verse 15. He says, and count the patience of our Lord is salvation, just as our beloved Paul also wrote to you according to wisdom given him. Well, I'll tell you what Paul said about false teachers. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, he said, I was amazed, I was astonished. You are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Listen now what he says. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Not everyone who carries a Bible is teaching the truth. Some are distorting the gospel. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed, Paul says. Even if it's an apostle, even if it's an angel, anybody who comes to you holding a Bible that preaches not the truth, call him on it. And we need to make sure, brethren, that we understand our responsibility. I say this to our elders. That's their job. And we can't be tolerant of error. I didn't say that we have to take him out and hang him from the highest tree or ride him through town, you know, tarred and feathered. But there needs to be a stand for truth when truth is being, when error is being taught. That's the point that we're simply trying to make. The companion epistle, I think, to 2 Peter is the book of Jude. If I'm not mistaken, my wife reminded me this morning, Ken did a class some time ago on 2 Peter and Jude, and they're very much alike in that they're addressing and dealing with false teachers, and some of the examples that are used, Old Testament examples, to help illustrate the point. And Jude says, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause division, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. You know, God hates disunity. I understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul clearly tells us that. I get that. But I want us to hear this, that our responsibility to know the truth and then to teach it at times will cause division. So Paul, what Jude is trying to help us to understand that error, you can never give up teaching and preaching and what he would say in that text, earnestly contending for the truth that was once delivered unto you. We got to make sure that what we do is authorized by God. And when those advocate or refuse to teach those things that come from God as being a practice we ought to follow, we need to know that and be prepared to stand for truth. And when you have people who teach error, it's going to cause division. It's going to cause problems and challenges. If every preacher in the world would look at Ephesians chapter 4 and preach one body and one faith, we wouldn't have any problem, would we? If everyone would preach one baptism, we wouldn't have the disunity and the division we have, but not everybody who carries the Bible is teaching the truth, and what you get and what you have is division when people begin baptizing for any reason, or not at all, or in any body of water, or in any way, and worshiping any god. And Paul's just trying to help us to understand that as we read Galatians 1, 6 through 8. Paul says in Timothy, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4, as the old warrior, the old soldier addresses things, we'll refer to him again in a little bit. He tells young Timothy, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. These myths and the misconception, what Paul would call wise fables and endless genealogies in other places. You listen to me. It doesn't come without obligation for every one of you here to understand your responsibility to make sure that people teach the truth. To make sure your preacher teaches the truth. To make sure Ross is teaching the truth. To make sure that your teachers are teaching. That's why James tells us in James chapter 3 and verse 1 that there's a weightier responsibility on teachers. And they'll be judged for making sure they teach the truth because people are so easily influenced by the words that men and women use in classes. Hear me. I understand this. I'm going to be judged for the things that I say. But you have an equal responsibility to make sure that the things I say are true. I know my heart. And if I teach error, that's wrong, and you need to help me see it so I can change and fix that and repent. And I would assume you understand your responsibility there. So Peter's reminding these, we'll see this clearly as we continue, that you got to understand your responsibility to grow in the grace and knowledge. That's how he closes it, of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. All right? So really this lesson is really a four-point lesson on how to maintain spiritual stability in troubled times. So Peter talks about that. He says, "You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability." The Standard Version, chapter 3 and verse 17. What we're talking about here is not